I'd like to turn back this evening to Genesis and chapter 28, and I'm going to read together the 12th verse. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 12. And he, that is Jacob, dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Well, this evening I want us to think about the way of heaven opened. And it was opened here for Jacob. And I want us to think about how it is opened for us. Firstly, we're going to look at Jacob the sinner. He is pictured as a sinner on the run. And then secondly, a saviour being revealed to Jacob. And then lastly, a salvation confessed. And so this evening we're going to think about the way to heaven being opened. And the first thing we notice about Jacob here is that he is a sinner on the run. He is under a death sentence. And this gives to us such a graphic picture, doesn't it? Here is Esau, his brother, his own brother, angry with him because of what he had done. He had, in a way, snatched the birthright from him. And Jacob at this time, he was probably around 70 years old, and this was a pivotal moment in his and Esau's life. And Esau was determined, as we read in the previous chapter, he had purposed to kill Jacob. Esau hated Jacob. And Rebekah said to Jacob, "Behold, thy brother, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee." And so here was Jacob leaving his home, his beloved father, his beloved mother. And he had to flee for his life. And here he is tonight. And this is a picture, surely, of us all, because we are all sinners. Jacob had broken a contract, in a sense, with his brother. And we have all broken God's law, and we are all under his condemnation. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The wages of sin. Sin has wages. It pays wages for the things that we do. God, in his law, has made it so. The wages of sin is death. And so a sinner is one who recognizes in a way that they are guilty before God, but almost everybody is on the run because of our sin. We begin life as sinners. And in that sense, we are running away from God, whether we recognize it or not. We are turning from him. We have broken his law. And we are longing to be away from him. We are doing things which will cause us to be further and further away from him. Perhaps, well, we often hear about it, don't we? How a child will leave the family home, no longer wants to come under the dominion of the parents, have their rule over them. And so they flee the home. They don't want to hear from their parents again. Christ taught about it, didn't he, in the parable of the prodigal son. It's a common thing, isn't it? We hear at this time of the year, especially, families struggling. And there are stresses and strains on relationships. And one spark. And just like in this household here of the patriarchs all those years ago, one spark can set things off and someone can leave home. How sad it is But you know, people are on the run from God. They're constantly seeking something to satisfy them, something that will bring them a blessing, as they think. Whether it's a new wife, I'll leave this wife that I have and I'll go and find another wife, or a husband, or a boyfriend or girlfriend, or if it's a new car or a new home, or something to fill the void of the heart, anything to escape, anything to stop us facing up to sin and coming before the Lord in repentance. Well, here is Jacob then under a death sentence. And we are all, friends, because of our sin, under the death sentence of the Lord. And we need to come and find him as our Saviour. But then secondly, we notice here in this picture of Jacob as a sinner, his loneliness. In verse 10, he goes out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. He'd left the family home and now he was on his own, very lonely. He would see them again at some point, but you know, friends, the great issues of life, just as with Jacob here, have to be faced alone. When we're ill and we have to go into the hospital, we feel very much alone. It's us that has to have the operation. We're the one who has to go through that. Well, in the same way, death will come, won't it? And we will be alone then. You see, the great issues of life have to be faced alone. And here was Jacob, with no friend to commune with no help, all on his own, running from his home, away to Laban. His death sentence, his loneliness, but we also see here the darkness that surrounded him. In verse 11, he lighted upon a certain place and there tarried all night because the sun was set. You see, this not only pictures for us, and scripture is wonderful in this sense because it often uses natural illustrations of the environment around a person to describe what's going on inside their heart and their spirit. And here is Jacob, not only alone, but in darkness. He was vulnerable. Here was Jacob in the wilderness on a night. No doubt it would soon be cold and there would be wild animals around and perhaps robbers. He was vulnerable to attack. Friends, this is the picture that we're given. Christ spoke, didn't he, of that man who went on his way to the Samaritan, came to him. He had been attacked by robbers. He was vulnerable. Well, you see, the darkness here of Jacob, not only was he alone, but in his soul, he was far away from God. He did not know the Lord, it seems, at this time. And so the darkness gives us a picture of our natural condition. People love darkness in this world. That's the natural desire of people. The Apostle John, he said, Christ spoke these words. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You find the clubs open at night, don't they? That's the time when people love to go out and they love to drink and they love to dance. It's at night when these things happen. It's no mistake, is it, that Satan is called the prince of darkness? Well, we're perhaps giving a very graphic picture here, but the scripture is plain. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel shine in their hearts. They're in darkness, and their deeds are evil. And so, what a darkness surrounded Jacob. The worst darkness is an uneasy conscience, when we cannot sleep at night because something we have done, something we have said. And no doubt here, Jacob, as he gathers together a few stones and he tries to make himself comfortable for the night, no doubt the uncomfortableness of these stones was a picture of the uncomfortable feelings and thoughts of his heart. What about you this evening? Do you think about your sin? Do you recognize the awesome God of heaven who looks upon you, who knows all about you, who has his eye upon you day and night? Do you consider your ways? Think about what you have done in the night watches, because the Lord, he here saw Jacob very plainly, and he sees us all, friends. The darkness, the psalmist said, and the light are both alike unto thee. And so we see him under a death sentence, in loneliness, in darkness. But we also find him in a desert place. Here in verse 11, he took these stones and he put them for his pillow and lay down in that place to sleep. What a picture then we have here. The only thing he could find to sleep on was a few rocks. He was in the wilderness. He was in the darkness of that wilderness with the beasts coming around him. He was exposed to the elements. He's alone physically. He's alone spiritually. He's without God and without peace. Well, tonight, are we finding life hard? Perhaps you say, well, it's like life's to me like lying down with my head upon a hard stone, cold stone. You see, you've lived away from the Lord, and now you feel something, you know something of the bitterness of sin. You realize that those temptations to pleasure have brought nothing but pain in your heart. Satan promised you many delights, and yet you realize now he delivers but death. And that's what sin will do. It will make us resent those pleasures that we once delighted in, because they bring a bitterness, a hardness, a coldness in our life as we get further and further away from the Lord. In the book of Proverbs, it says, the way of transgressors is hard. It will be a hard thing in the end to run away from God. There will be a price to pay in almost every aspect of your life. And this is what Jacob found. Here he is then alone tonight in a desert place, laying down his head upon a stone cold, a cold stone. Well, secondly, we notice not only Jacob pictured as a sinner, but a saviour revealed to him. Suddenly, here in verse 12, he has this dream, a very vivid dream. And the Lord reveals himself to Jacob in the most astonishing way. Well, we need the Lord to reveal himself to us, friends. There is no other way for us to enter heaven, for heaven's door to be opened to us. We cannot lift ourselves to heaven. But the Lord has to reveal himself to us individually. You know, the natural world it tells us much about the Lord. It tells us something of his almighty power as we look out and we see pictures of various planets and galaxies. We see something of his power. We look at the movement of the sun and the stars. We see something of his faithfulness. But you see these attributes of God, his glory, his faithfulness, his power. But still, there is a great gulf fixed between our natural mind and the spiritual truths of heaven. Even if we stood upon the highest mountain, we could not reach, could we, to heaven? God must make a way. And here we have pictured in a most amazing way the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only ladder to heaven. He is the only way whereby heaven can be opened for us. And it was so here for Jacob. And you say, how can we read that this Old Testament account is anything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, if you turn to John chapter 1, and at the end of that chapter, we have the words of Christ himself. In 1 John and 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And so Christ here portrays himself as this ladder. He claims that this very ladder which Jacob saw was himself. It was a picture of himself. He was the Son of Man, and he would open up the holy courts of heaven and give mankind access to the Father. Christ Jesus, you see, is our connection with heaven. He is the Saviour. He would be Jacob's Saviour. Notice where this ladder reached to. It is reaching to heaven. And we recall, don't we, the Tower of Babel. How in the Old Testament earlier on, people got together in those early times and they tried to build a tower that would reach up unto heaven. And they sat down and wept because their tower was unsuccessful. It was a great failure because God brought confusion. And confusion of tongues and language. And so it was an impossible effort. You know, people try all kinds of things to reach heaven. But all of them end in failure. All man-made schemes are never successful. There is only one way whereby heaven could be opened, and that is in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. What did he say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so tonight, many are trying to climb to heaven. Maybe you're one of them. You're trying to do all kinds of things, good works perhaps. Not that we decry good works, of course, is an essential part of the Christian's life. But you know, our prayers, our good works cannot cause us to reach heaven. It's impossible. Christ says, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, is a thief and a robber. I am the door. You see, so many people trying to reach heaven. And just in the business world, people do a great deal in order to get to the top, to climb the ladder. They'll sacrifice so much, and it will all be perhaps in vain. Maybe they get to the top job, and a few years later they have a heart attack and die, and everything is lost. It happens, doesn't it? What people will do to get to the top. Well, here this ladder reaches into heaven. And it's a picture of Jesus Christ. He alone can bring us into heaven, can open up heaven for our souls. Well, notice this ladder is a proven ladder. Angels going up to God and descending from God upon it. And Christ is pictured here as the one by which heaven is brought down to earth. He is, of course, that mediator between God and man. There is only one mediator, one who can stand between heaven and earth, and it is Jesus Christ. And this ladder is a proven way. Many of us here can testify that heaven's door was opened for us in and through Jesus Christ. He is that way. And we have proved it. And we rejoice in it. But we notice also, what are these angels going up and down the ladder? In Hebrews 1, it tells us of Christ, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies my footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? You see, God has hosts of angels. And although we cannot comprehend or understand, perceive much of their office, we're given here an indication that they minister. They come down in a sense, they work in order to be a blessing to the heirs of salvation. You remember the angel Gabriel? We hear his words, don't we, at this time of the year. He said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and am sent to bring you these good tidings. Now, of course, we don't see angels today. It's not necessary for us to see angels. We have the Word of God. We have the full revelation of the gospel, and the person of Jesus Christ is all that we need. We need a Savior, you see. Angels cannot save us, but Christ is this mediator, the one who stands between heaven and earth. It wasn't angels that came to save us, but the Son of God himself. He came to redeem us, to set us free, to lay down his life upon the cross, to give himself for sinners. And here he is pictured then as Jacob's Saviour. We see him standing above it. In verse 13, behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it. You see, everything we need comes through Jesus Christ. Everything we need from promised Saviour comes through him. You see, what Jacob needed here, he needed encouragement. He needed forgiveness. He needed a new life, a new start, a new beginning. He had not known the Lord, it seems. He needed his heart to be changed. He needed his life to be ordered. He needed the presence of God to go before him. He needed the promises of God. He needed the protection of the Lord. And of course, this is exactly what the Saviour promises. I will be with you, Jacob. I will give you an inheritance. Wherever you go, I will bless you. I will protect you. I will be your God. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Though he was a sinner, he found Christ, the Saviour, revealed to him. He dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. Well, friends, tonight, do you know this Saviour? Do you know you cannot reach heaven by your own works? Have you sought this Saviour in his word? Have you prayed to him in the night time when you're thinking about your sins and you realize that death is looming, or you're worried about something and you need his help and his guidance? Where will you turn? You see, Jacob had this remarkable dream. We don't expect dreams, do we? But we can come by faith. That is what the Lord expects of us this evening, that we who have his word, not the ministry of angels, but the ministry of the Spirit of God through his word, can open the eye of faith, and we can look heavenward, and we can see the Saviour standing in heaven, as it were. That is what Stephen saw when he was stoned. There is Christ. Behold, I see the Son of God standing in heaven. And we look by faith, and we say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Saviour. And that's thirdly what we're thinking of here, his confession of salvation in verse 16. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. He'd known about God, perhaps from a very, very young age, on the knee of his father Isaac, or certainly from Abraham, his grandfather. He knew about the Lord. But now he could confess the Lord. And Jacob, verse 20, vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. You see, Jacob was in a desperate situation here, wasn't he? He needed bread to eat. He needed clothes to wear. God, if God will be with me and will keep me, then shall the Lord be my God. You see, we see in closing here tonight his consciousness of God. You know, we have to come to face the reality that we stand before God. He sees us, he knows us. And here, Jacob had a reverence for God. He had a fear of God. Do you have that in your heart this evening? How dreadful is this place? You know, the gospel is not just a nice story. It's not just something that we come here on a Sunday evening just for the sake of it. The gospel is for real. God is for real. Heaven is for real. And this Saviour is for real. And your need of a Saviour is for real. And it's only by coming face to face with the Lord and saying, how dreadful is this place? I stand before God. You know, if we don't recognize it here on earth, after we have gone through death, we will stand before God and we'll say, how dreadful is this place? I'm in my sins. I have no Savior. And it will be too late. A consciousness of God. God is near at hand to those that call upon him. Those that call upon him in truth, he will be near at hand to them, ready to bless them, ready to save them. But we shouldn't dabble with these things. These are holy things. These are things that we have to have reverence for God. He will not be mocked by us. This is a serious matter. Jacob realized it. He was afraid, it says here. This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. This is what we need, isn't it? We need to be ready to die and enter into the presence of God. We need a place in heaven. Isn't that what you need tonight? Is that why you come here week by week? Do you not fear and tremble? Will I be lost at last? Or do I have a place in heaven? His conversion to the Lord. It's not enough, you know, to be those that fear God, that tremble at God. He called it Bethel, the house of God. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. You see, the word Luz, the name Luz, means separation. And in a sense, what Jacob was saying, I've done with my old life. I'm separating from it. It is just a waste, howling wilderness to me. It is nothing to me. It is less than nothing. Because I now have the house of God. I'm a member of God's family. I know the Lord. My life is under his care. I have nothing now to fear because I am his child and he has promised to be with me. This is a place of communion with God, with the living God. This is a place of worship and fellowship with him. This is a place of peace for my soul. And there is nothing on earth compared to that, to know your sins forgiven and a place in heaven. Surely he awoke a different man. And that's the picture we have in the gospel, that those that come by faith to Jesus Christ, we're born again. We no longer want the old life. We separate from it. We now want to be dead to sin. And separated rather unto God. And we see here the heart of Jacob in closing now. And in verse 22, this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And all and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give a tenth to thee. He recognizes God's rights over him and he yields his heart in consecration, in full commitment to him. Well, we think of the Philippian jailer when he came to that dreadful place where he was brought face to face with death and he cried out, what shall I do to be saved? And Paul said to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be saved. And he believed. And he turned. And he repented. And he was baptized. He showed his commitment. He obeyed the Lord. And that's our prayer for each one of us here tonight. That like Jacob are on the run. That you may see Christ as the only way to heaven. And that you might turn to him tonight, saying, what must I do to be saved? And that he will come to you and show you his blessings. He says, I will be with thee, Jacob. I will not fail thee. Whatever you go through in life, and he went through some very, very hard things. But in the end, though the days of his pilgrimage, he said, were few and evil, yet he entered heaven and is with Christ, who revealed himself to him here in this account. He dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. Well, may we reach heaven by trusting in God's beloved Son, who is that only way into heaven above.